This is HPR episode 1987 entitled, Pomodoro Timer, The Evolution of a Script, PT1, and is part of the series, Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Nacho Jordi, and is about 22 minutes long. The summary is, the different stages of a Bash script that was created accidentally.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everybody, this is Nacho Jordi, one more time recording a podcast for Hacker Public Radio. And in this occasion, the name of this podcast is Pomodoro Timer, The Evolution of a Script. I'm going to do a two podcast series because I thought otherwise the matter is a bit dense, perhaps. And maybe it's an issue that is not interesting to everybody. I think the people who can profit the most from this podcast is the people who's starting in writing Bash scripts. It's about a very basic Bash script I made. I'll provide the script in its current state in the show notes at the second episode. But most of all, this podcast is not about the coding in itself, but about something like coding philosophy or something like that. I want to talk about this script among all the scripts I've done in my geek life because there's something peculiar about it. The thing is, this is a Bash script I wrote in a somewhat accidental manner. I didn't intend to write a Bash script. I was kind of forced by the circumstances, and I think it's something very peculiar, something that was like born of itself and then developed according to its needs at my expense. So I thought it would be an original issue for a podcast. The script in question is a very simple one. In fact, as it's a bit coding 101, isn't very interesting for. In fact, I was even questioning if you need the actual code because it's very obvious. But anyway, I'll provide it in the next episode. What does the script do? It's a timer I use for the Pomodoro technique. The Pomodoro technique, for those that don't know it, it's a productivity technique created by an Italian guy called Francesco Cirillo. I think he created it in the 80s. I'm going to describe the technique for those who don't know it. Basically, it's a time boxing technique in which you alternate periods of work by pauses, and that creates a cadence that helps you maintain your focus and avoid mistakes. The typical periods for a Pomodoro, it's an Italian word that means tomato, by the way, because the original way of measuring time was with one of those kitchen timers that have the classical timers that have the shape of a tomato. And the unit of measure of this technique is the Pomodoro. A Pomodoro is usually a 25-minute period. So the pacing in the Pomodoro technique, the standard pacing, let's say, goes like this: one Pomodoro of work, 25 minutes, followed by a 5 minutes pause. And then in the fourth of those pauses, instead of five, you do 10 minutes instead. All of this, as Francesco Cirillo explains, is highly customizable. It's not a fixed rule. It seems there's research that shows that 25 minutes is like the longest time period that you can focus on a matter before your mind drifts away. But as Cirillo explains, you have to look at your mood, your current energy, and the time you have available for a day. For example, it's not the same doing a sprint than a marathon, that kind of things. But the way to start the basic model is like this: 25 minutes of work, 5 minutes pause, 25 minutes works, 5 minutes pause, 25 minutes works, 5 minutes pause, 25 minutes works, 10 minutes pause, and then it repeats. That's a basic Pomodoro technique. I had tried this technique before, and it worked quite well for me, but for some reason it didn't stick. This time, maybe the different thing is that I read Francesco Cirillo's book, which is a PDF that is freely available in his website. I'll put a link in the show notes. And this time I was really looking for something to optimize my work and my flow, and I was decided to be very disciplined about it and reap the rewards. So I read Cirillo's book. He says that all you need to know is what I already told you about the technique is those 25 minute periods followed by 5 minute periods. But in fact, you can go beyond that basic technique and find a lot more about it. All the things you can customize, and also I found the book very recommendable because of its philosophy about what work means, meaningful work means, and the way we work, the patterns we have of work and leisure and all the rest. It's a very interesting read in my view. So I read Cirillo's book, and then I intended to apply it mostly to my computer work. Most of all my work is, you know, knowledge work, and happens in my laptop. So to do that I needed to decide which Pomodoro timer I was going to use. I wanted a tool that got out of the way as much as possible. I didn't want to tinker, fancy buttons, etc. About that, a little word about my personal relationship with computers. For some reason, I'm not completely geek. Not being a regular user, I find that I move between poles, between extremes. I'm half of the time a geek, a tinkerer, that's for sure. I like to modify things and see the results and try stuff that pops up in my mind and see all kind of crazy ideas. I'm sure many of you who are listening, all of you identify with this. We're hackers. But at the other half of the time, it's like I'm done with computers and I don't want to look under the hood. I just want things to work. It's a delicate balance sometimes. But in this period, when this script kind of happens, I was exactly in the second kind of mood. I didn't want at all to tinker or to look for apps or anything like that. I just wanted to find a simple tool that worked for me, a measure of seconds, and it's a very elementary thing. Get the Pomodoro system running, take it out of the way, and start doing actual real stuff. So then I started to look for what was available out there. I first tried finding an Android application. And what did I find? Well, in an Android, there are a lot of Pomodoro timers. I tried most of them. And most of them I found that they have a very fancy user interfaces. But they fail short in functionality, because I don't know, for some reason the alarm in the Android sometimes fails, and it's happened to me with the alarm clock too, and sometimes it just doesn't sound, or just it sounds for a tiny second. I don't know why that happens, but it's unreliable. And also those apps were very complicated, because I guess the people who like the Pomodoro technique, the developers that wanted to do a Pomodoro timer, the only way they could implement their personal flavor was like doing strange graphic things or allowing extra configuration, but I just wanted the basic plain vanilla model, 25 minutes followed by 5, and then the fourth pause, 10 minutes. So then I moved and tried to look for online resources, and there I found a few suitable candidates. And I finally settled with one called Tomato Timer. The URL is tomato-timer.com. I like it because it had a good rendering. Other Pomodoro timers did crazy stuff when I tried to reduce the size of the window. I also liked it because the interface was very simple. You had a count in minutes and seconds, I think, and then also another great thing of it was that it worked with key bindings. I always prefer key bindings better than mouse. And this one, I think it was like Alt S for start the Pomodoro, and then Alt L to do a long Pomodoro, 25 minutes, then Alt S to do a short. No. Well, I don't remember, but it had a different. It was like three key bindings for the three kinds of countdown you need. So at any moment, I heard the bleeping signal, and I just pressed the key binding, and then there you go. I could forget about the Pomodoro timer until the next signal came. So I added this online timer to my arsenal, my daily arsenal. I always had it on one corner, and I opened it first thing in the morning. And really, I don't know, for those who haven't tried the Pomodoro technique, it really does something to you, that pacing. It really creates a pattern that it even goes on. Once you get used to it, it follows with you, continues with you even after, when you're no longer using the timer. It's like you get like a timing, okay, I have to do this, and then I have to move to another mode, and then I have to get back to this mode. And even when strange things happen, you always go back to that pace. And also the estimation of 25 minutes for concentration as concentration period, in my case, I cannot tell, I cannot speak for everybody, but in my case it's very accurate. I cannot tell how many times I was I was losing my concentration and about to make a mistake. When the Pomodoro rang, I took my 5 minute breaks, and then I looked at the problem with fresh eyes and go on with a lot of productivity. Unless I had that break, I would have probably made some kind of mistake. So I really encourage you to give it the Pomodoro technique a try, because in my case it really worked to up to this date. Maybe in some periods, for example, now that I'm recording a podcast, I'm not running a Pomodoro timer. But in other periods, when you're going to, you know, you have like a lot of hours available, it's good to make small chunks, like stakes on the ground, that help you. It gives you a pace, a rhythm, a cadence. Okay, so, well, I was with my tomatotimer.com timer. I was cranking out stuff, life was good. But then one day something happened. Tomato Timer disappeared. It was no longer available online. At that time, what I thought is that the web had been closed. Later, in some time, I found that it's available online. So I don't know if they were doing some kind of maintenance or whatever, but it wasn't available, and all the signs were that Tomato Timer no longer existed. So the day that happened, again I couldn't lose a lot of time. I just wanted to start cranking out stuff. No desire or opportunity whatsoever of starting tweaking. I needed a solution quick in the moment, and start in my usual production mode. So that's the moment where the script was born. I did what I would call a minimum viable script. What's the minimum thing I need this computer to do? And it took me like 3 to 5 minutes, I think. It was a while do loop in Bash with the command sleep one, you know, it waits for 1 second. And the while loop, I did the calculations, and a Pomodoro 25 minutes is 1,500 seconds. So the while loop took 1,500 seconds. And to warn me about the break, again, it was so a choice in the moment, the first thing I couldn't think of. So what I did was using a sound I usually use for all my testing. When I need, for example, to determine if a part in a code is being executed, if the computer reaches it, I make it play a sound with the command a play. And this file is called ok.wav. It's a sound I took from the OpenOffice sound library, and it's a male voice that says okay. I use it like I say to test all my scripts, and it was handy. So I use it to warn when the while do loop ends, the computer emitted this OK sound, and that was the proto script I used, the first version. Then when I had to do the process, I simply edited the script, and instead of the 1,500 seconds, I put 300 for the 5 minutes pause and 600 for the 10 minutes pause. So as primal, as simply, as rough, as gorilla, as guerrilla as it gets. I just wanted to go on with my day and not to worry anymore about Bash scripting. Nothing, I had a lot to do, and nothing could be farther from my mind than Bash scripting. So this tiny tiny bash script did me a good service. I think I used it like in that state, like for like 2 or 3 weeks. But maybe it has to do with my cycles. The geek kicked in a bit at some moment, or the user in me just wanted more functionality. And I once heard in a podcast that a program is only finished when its last user dies. Where once you have a piece of code that minimally runs, it's like the code starts to ask you for things. When you are a computer aficionado, you cannot avoid to have this kind of what if moments when you say, hey, with very little effort, just changing these 2 lines, adding an echo command, I could get a lot of benefit and new functionality. And that's what happened to me. From the script existed, and it's like with that first seed, it started like to ask for things to me. I resisted for a while, like I say, but in the end, it was a bit like that movie, The Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know if you remember, if you've seen that movie. I like the Roger Corman version better, but the one with Rick Moranis, it's a musical version, it's also funny. It's about a flesh-eating plant that speaks to its owner and asks it to bring it victims. The script was a bit like this. It was like asking me, feed me, feed me. And I started to add stuff to it. I tried to do it also in a very sustainable way, just adding small changes, keeping a good backup in case something got broken, which is a weird thing, because even with the minimal changes, when that happens to you a couple thousand of times, you learn that no change is small enough that cannot break something. In an echo command, you can forget, I don't know, a backslash or a quote, and then suddenly everything screws. So that's how the script was born, and from that point I started to add improvements, and I want to stop here, the first part of the Pomodoro Timer story, and in the next episode, stay tuned, and I will tell you about the next evolutions of this small minimal script. Thank you everybody for listening, and have a great day. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.